You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. A book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. This is Sherry, and America, men, women, boys, and girls, please open your King James Bible to Psalm 89, verse 28, where we left off last time. Psalm 89, verse 28. Excuse me. This particular psalm is in what is called the Leviticus Book of Psalms, and Leviticus means the sanctuary. And what sanctuary really means is in Jesus and in his word, but not one verse and 3 points. It would be Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Now, the man God is using to write this, his name is Ethan. He's also sometimes called Jeduthun. He was one of three Levitical musicians that King David appointed to direct the music in the sanctuary. And so what we need to do to understand this psalm, it's a fantastic psalm. It's the only psalm that Ethan wrote, is we have to understand where Ethan is coming from. So Ethan was appointed by David to lead the music, and he was of the tribe of Levi. He was also a priest. So this shows us that Ethan's life was totally devoted to Yahweh, the Lord our God. But you also need to know that he loved King David in a righteous way. He knew that God had promised King David that King David's throne would last forever and that the Messiah would come through David's lineage. And of course, we know the Messiah did come, and that is Jesus. So now keep this in mind. The first part of this psalm, Ethan was praising the Lord for the blessing in the sanctuary and praising for the covenant. But time is moving on. King David dies. King Solomon takes the reign. King Solomon dies and his son Rehoboam takes the reign. And Ethan sees that the great, glorious, superpower of superpower, nation of Israel, is coming to ruin. And he loves God. He's afraid Messiah won't come through. It looks to Ethan as though God's not going to keep the covenant that he made with David. Now remember that it just looks that way, because I'm giving you Ethan's viewpoint, but we're going to look at God's viewpoint. See, you have a promise from God. Yes, you do. And it hasn't come true. Now, we're going to find out what we do about that. The first thing I do is say, what am I doing wrong? Because when God gives a promise, he gives some ifs. He had told David. He had told Solomon. He told Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He said, if you'll have no other gods before me, and if you'll keep my word. And he said, law and statutes. Okay. So if we don't do the ifs, that's why the promise does not come true. But keep this in mind, that Ethan is the man of God, and it looks to him like God's not going to keep the covenant. So Ethan comes before God and says, Father, what's happening here? You're not keeping the covenant that you promised to David. Now you say, boy, that's uppity of Ethan. No, it isn't. Isaiah 43, 26, God says, come, let us reason together. Put me in remembrance of my word. See, Don't ever try to con God. Don't try to be pious and act like you're happy with your misery. I just go ahead and tell him, what am I doing wrong here? Something seems to be wrong here. This is hard, Lord. And so he's honest with God. So we're going to have a dialogue between Ethan, and that can be you, elect, when the promise doesn't seem to come true, and with God, and we're going to go back and forth on this. Now, we are going to find out in a few verses what happened to the kingdom that caused it to seem to Ethan that the covenant would not be kept.
28, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore.
Now, that promise was, Ethan is reminding God of 2 Samuel 7:14. God said, but my mercy shall not depart from David as it did from Saul. God said, I will not reject David as I did the first man king, which was Saul. So God promised that.
And my covenant shall stand fast with him.
Now, this is what we call a salt covenant, and it cannot be broken.
29, his seed also will I make to endure forever.
Okay, now this is the clue. So, as Rush Limbaugh says on the radio, everybody look at me. So we're going to explain this. All right, Ethan lived through David's reign, and he loved David, and he knew the Messiah was to come through David's lineage. And then he lived through King Solomon, David's son, reign. And he saw King Solomon, first of all, start out really good. King Solomon said, Father, I'm a child. I don't know how to lead these great 12 tribes of Israel. They were not split. And he said, I ask for wisdom. So God gave Solomon wisdom plus riches plus fame. But after a while, now here's why the covenant doesn't seem to be broken, and Ethan is talking this out with God. After a while, King Solomon, who had a soft touch for women and foreign women, married 700 wives and had 300 concubines. Now, first of all, he broke God's law right there. In Genesis 1, it says, the Hebrew word there is humankind, mankind in general. That is when all the races were created on the sixth day. And God said they are very good. He loves all the races. But he said, do not mix the seed, kind after his own kind. So Solomon had already gone and messed that up. As if that were not enough, he built all of his wives' altars for their heathen gods. And when the 700 wives and the 300 concubines, when it was their night to be with Saul, and they said, come up and see me sometime, he would go up and worship their god with them. Uh-oh. So see, one of the ifs is broken, okay? Now, you're still listening, aren't you? We're learning about the seed in this verse. Then Solomon passed on and had a son named Rehoboam. At this time, we still have 12 tribes of Israel. Now, actually, Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, but he was emotionally arrested because he was the prince and had been spoiled. The only thing he had ever led, he organized his toys. He was a toy organizer. He had never led anything. And so the first thing Rehoboam did, he did not go to God. At least Solomon went to God, and David always went to God. Rehoboam called the two different groups of people to tell me, how shall I rule over these 12 tribes of Israel? So he called the older group who had known his father, and they said, rule just like your father, King Solomon, did. He was a good king. He would be firm, and he didn't let people get away with anything. He'd correct when he needed to be, but he was a good king. And so then Rehoboam said, okay, let me call my peers. So he called his peers, who do not know how to come in out of the rain. They probably could text. That was about it. But anyway, so here's what they said. They said, here's what you do, Rehoboam. You tell the 12 tribes, say this, quote, my finger shall be mightier than my father's loins. He uses a rather vulgar anatomy illustration to say that he's going to be big and bad and worse than his dad, although his dad was a good king. He went on to say, if my dad corrected you with a whip, I'm going to correct you with a scorpion. That means he would put a piece of wire and twist it in the whip and tie it together like a barbed wire so that when they whipped him, it would feel like a scorpion. But that's not all Rehoboam did. And all the while, God is reminding Ethan of what Rehoboam did. Just before Rehoboam does something else bad, up comes a man of God named Ahijah. And Ahijah takes his garment and he cuts it into 12 pieces. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel. And he cuts two pieces and he gives those two to Rehoboam, Solomon's son, King David's grandson. And he says, you will only have two tribes and you will be the house of Judah. There comes the splitting of the tribes. That'll be Judah and Benjamin. There were a little bit of Simeon in there. Then he took the 10 pieces extra and gave them to a man named Jeroboam. And he said, you will be king of the house of Israel, the tribes to the north. Now, so the tribes split. And Jesus says, a house divided cannot stand. So it's falling apart. And Ethan is seeing this. How is Messiah going to come through? But Rehoboam wasn't through doing bad things. Rehoboam sent the head of the IRS. Let's see, the name is Lois. The name is Hadaram. You know Hadaram, the head of the IRS. And Rehoboam sent Hadaram down to the northern 10 tribes and said, Rehoboam says you still have to pay him taxes, and that's not all. I'm going to raise your taxes. So he sent a raiser of taxes to the 10 tribes of Israel, the house of Israel. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The house of Israel, if you really know the history and where we are over the pond into America, you know that the house of Israel doesn't take too well with someone raising our taxes. Remember the Boston Tea Party? You know what they did to Hadaram, the raiser of taxes? They stoned him to death. And Rehoboam had to run back to Jerusalem because they almost got him too. Well, that's what happened to one raiser of taxes. Parentheses. Daniel 11:20 says at this current time in a high estate, there is a raiser of taxes. In the glory of the kingdom, came in like a Messiah. Daniel 11:20 says, but within few days, he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Well, I guess he won't be stoned. We'll wait and see. So now the kingdom was divided, and so Ethan sees this. In other words, Solomon and Rehoboam have broken the if. So therefore, Ethan is grieving, and he's saying, oh, no, the Messiah's not going to come. Remember, he's getting on up there in age, and he thought he would see the Messiah before he died.
And his throne as the days of heaven. 30, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments.
And they did not, because I just told you what his children did. Did y'all get that? Solomon, Rehoboam, okay?
31, if they break my statutes.
That means the Bible. They didn't keep the word.
And keep not my commandments.
Did not.
32, then will I visit their transgression with a rod.
And so the house, the 12 tribes were split, and they have never gotten back together again. We are in separate places. We are still the house of Judah, two tribes, and we are still the house of Israel, 10 tribes. Now, then began to be wars. There began to be wars. Jeroboam began fighting with Rehoboam's son when Rehoboam's son took over. And so it was a mess. It looked as though the nation was gone. It was gone. It was gone.
And their iniquity with stripes. 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him.
Now, God is talking back to Ethan, and he says, remember 2 Samuel 7:14, I said, I will not utterly reject David. My mercy will not depart from him as it did that first man, King Saul.
Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail.
Now, the word faithfulness, those of you who heard the lecture last time, know that the word in Hebrew is emanu. Can you say that?
Emanu.
Actually, it's emunah, emunah. Okay, it means truth. Now, this is the sixth time in the Psalm 89 so far that truth which is what faithfulness means, emunah means. And what God is trying to get Ethan to know, I have told David the truth. Just because it doesn't look like the promise is there, and time is passing by, and it's almost time for you to go to the graveyard, doesn't mean it's not going to come true. God's word is truth, so that's why he keeps using this word.
34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips.
Now, I would suggest all of you memorize that verse. I've memorized it, and I pray it all the time. We pray it on Wednesday night when we're praying for America. I pray it for everybody who calls me to pray. I pray it for myself. The word alter means I will not violate the thing that goes out of my lips. God is not a man that he should lie. When his promises are yes and amen.
35, once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David.
God is not a man that he shall lie. So see, he and Ethan are having this dialogue. Ethan is saying, Father, you're not keeping your word. And God is saying, yes, I always keep my word. Now we're going to find out how God keeps the word. You know, he said that there's going to be a punishment there. We're going to find out what happened.
36, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me.
Now he's talking about David's throne. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 20 and 21, this same promise is given, and Jeremiah says it. God says to Jeremiah, if my covenant of day and night can be broken, if the sun will not come up in the morning, and if the sun will not set at evening, then and only then can my covenant with my servant David be broken. Well, we know the sun comes up and the sun comes down, but what is God's covenant of day and night so we can trust that he was going to keep his promise to David? Well, that's found in Genesis 8:22, and see, Ethan would have access to that. That is the covenant of day and night. Everybody listen carefully. Genesis 8:22. While earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, all of you, you got a twofer there. Not only did we find out that God keeps his day and night covenant, we also find out in that verse that global warming is a lie. See, that's just a power grab they're trying to do. Tell them to read Genesis 8:22. Send it to the White House. I dare you.
37, it shall be established forever as the moon as a faithful witness in the heavens.
And he puts a second witness. Don't you see that moon up there? I mean, every night we look up and there's the moon. It's going to be a big one tonight. Selah, stop, pause, think on that. See, he keeps telling Ethan, Ethan, I keep my covenant. But Ethan doesn't get it because the nation's torn apart.
38, but thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed.
Now, Ethan here is talking to God, and he's giving his opinion of the situation. But Father, it looks to me like you have cast David off. It just looks that way. It's the opinion. In the Bible, when you read the Bible, listen carefully. Don't be turning around. Listen. In the Bible, when it's a person's opinion, that should not be preached as the truth. Because, see, this isn't the truth. This is the way it looks to Ethan. He's a wonderful man. He just doesn't understand why the covenant's not yet come true. It's like in the book of Job. Pages and pages and pages and pages of Job's ratchet jaw friends telling him that the reason he was suffering is because he had sinned. They were all lying. That's pages and pages and pages of lies right there in the Bible. But God puts them in there so you can tell a lie from the truth. When it's man's opinion, you should never preach what Job's friends say as a sermon. We hear people take Job's friends' verses and call them God's word. No, he put it in there so you can tell the difference between what a man says and what God says. See, it's God's sermon. It's not man's sermon that we should hear. Okay? So he says, so this is Ethan's opinion. See, this is not the truth. God, we know God kept his covenant because we have Jesus, don't we? He did come. He came through Mary. But he doesn't see that yet. What about the cast off? In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, one of the last things King David said to his beloved son Solomon, as Solomon was taking over the throne, and David knew that heavy is the head that wears the crown. He said, my son, if you will seek God with all your heart, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you away forever. Now here's what happened. Because Saul went into idolatry, and his son Rehoboam went into idolatry, was proud and arrogant and so forth. Instead of sending Messiah through the great King Solomon, who was of the tribe of Judah, God chose another son of David to send Messiah. And that son was Nathan, but he was still of the house of Judah. And right on down, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, Mary, Jesus. Mary's father, Heli, was of the tribe of Judah. And of course, the girl always has her father's seed inside of her. God did keep his covenant. He just had plan B. And I want to say to you, he has plan B for you. When the devil trips up plan A, I have found in my life, he's got plan B. And you know what? It's even better.
39, thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant.
In other words, he's still expressing his opinion. This is the way he sees it. He sees through a glass darkly. Actually, he's grieving for the nation. He knows they were chosen people, and he's grieving. And he hasn't quite yet, it hasn't registered to him. You know, you can stand back and watch sin. For 6 years, I have watched the United States of America go from America to a socialist mockery in the world, to having the boot on our neck. Now, I've been alert because I know the Bible, and also I am a missionary to America, and I'm very alert about things. I knew that was happening. But many people just now, because of what's happening, they are just today beginning to awaken. And see, it's been happening bit by bit by bit. This law broken, this constitution broken, this thing, this tax, this regulation, and so forth. And suddenly you see it. And I think that's what happened to Ethan. He just didn't see it. It unfolded bit by bit before his eyes.
Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. 40, thou hast broken down all his hedges.
Now, we know in Isaiah chapter 5 that God said, my well-beloved hath offended. He was talking about the nation of Israel. And he said he fenced it about, an invisible fence. God is our wall of fire. We just sang that on the piano a while ago, that with the piano there. God is our wall of fire. And he said he put a watchtower in the vineyard. In other words, watching out. He's got people, watchmen on the wall, the elect, watching out. And then he said he put a wine press in it so they could put the good grapes in and produce the good wine, be a fruitful vineyard. But as the Song of Solomon says, God says, I went down to the garden of nuts. Yes, that's in the Song of Solomon. God came down and checked the vineyard there in Isaiah 5, and lo and behold, there were poison grapes, bad grapes, and it was bad fruit, no fruit. And of course, that was the Zoan, the tares, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the descendants of Cain, the child of the devil. That old tree of knowledge of good and evil, who wholly seduced, beguiled Eve there in the garden. That's what God saw. Now, as a missionary to America, look at us. Our walls are broken down. The enemy can come in.
Thou hast brought his stronghold to ruin. 41, all that pass by the way spoil him.
What they did from king to king, from king, from right on Rehoboam, especially Rehoboam, that started king after king after king. They began to have to pay for peace. When King David and King Solomon were kings, all the enemies round about them who wanted to kill them, King David and King Solomon made them pay tribute to Israel. I mean, they were wise. But as the nation deteriorated, God's protection was gone. And so Israel was paying bribes to the enemy so they wouldn't hurt us. The United States of America pays billions of dollars to our enemies who are plotting to kill us right now. Sotesh, Hebrew, stupid.
He is a reproach to his neighbors.
He's a reproach to his neighbor. Israel became a laughingstock. Israel had been the superpower of superpowers, the wealthiest nation then, the most respected. Everybody knew that Yahweh God was for these people. And then they laughed. America's a laughingstock. Our allies cannot trust us. We do not cover their back. And our enemies laugh at us as they push on in to take us down and make us worship their God.
The right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice.
And they laugh. I mean, after all, they're just getting all the spoils. Even as the king line went on down, even good King Hezekiah, we've talked about him in here. He was a good king. He was a righteous king. Even he took the gold off the temple's doorknobs to give to Sennacherib to keep Sennacherib from attacking Jerusalem.
43, thou hast also turned the edge of his sword.
Now, what that means, it's like they had a sword, Israel. When they fight, one part of the sword is blunt, and the other side is sharp as a razor. You can slice and dice and do business. But God says, because you've forsaken me, your military has so diminished that it's though you're fighting with a blunt sword against the sharpest knives in the drawer.
Not made him to stand in the battle.
Mean you cannot manifest yourself in battle. You have to stop. You have to pull out before the war is over because you've left God. And what you do when you pull out before the war is over, Jesus says, oh, don't leave it empty. A stronger will come in. A greater one comes in and destroys. We pulled out of Iraq, and now look, we have ISIS, and they are, do you know what they're doing? They're beheading babies and putting the heads on sticks. And they have got all of those Christians up on a mountain. I mean, you're not supposed to ever reject God. Oh, what happens to a nation when we turn away from God?
44, thou hast made his glory to cease.
God's glory. That God had gotten such glory and fame in the world because even the enemies of the heathen would realize that there was a God in Israel. And you know, one of the Islamic root goals is, their greatest goal, they are absolutely going to put a black flag on the White House. That is their goal. That's their flag of their Islamic nation. And all glory, our flag, shall be torn to rags. That's their goal.
And cast his throne down to the ground. 45, the days of his youth hast thou shortened.
In the Hebrew, Ethan is still talking to God about David. He loved David. He just knew that David's heart was so after God. And it looks like Messiah's not coming through David. He knows it would grieve David to see what happened to the kingdom here. And so he just says he's so grieved about David.
Thou hast covered him with shame.
One of the greatest things that shamed David was when David's son Absalom took over the throne of Jerusalem. And Absalom did a no-no. He took all of David's wives up on the rooftop and went in unto them. And I use biblical language there. Now, he actually broke the law. He uncovered his father's nakedness. You heard that expression there? That means to lie with your father's wives, and that shamed David. And then umbilical cord from Nathan right on down through Mary, there was this wonderful Yeshua Jesus. And they stripped him of his robe, and they put a crown of thorns in his brow, and the blood came down on his cheeks, and they blindfolded, and they spit upon him, and they pulled his beard out, and they hit him with 39 stripes, and they pierced his hands and his feet. They put him to shame. He took the shame so we could have no blame.
Selah,
stop, pause, think on that. Shout hallelujah.
46, how long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? shall thy wrath burn like fire?
Now, Ethan is getting a little bit over the edge here with God. He's beginning to get a little bit, it's time for him to start hearing God. You know what he should have been saying? Nation of Israel, let's call a day of repentance. Let's all get together, all the nation of Israel. Let's have a day of repentance. Let's confess our sins, forgive our sins, ask God to forgive us and come back and be our God and heal our land. So as a missionary to America, America, I, Sherry, I am calling a day of repentance. Will you join me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. One said yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, there's another.
Yes.
We're doing this. I really am. Those out you in cyberspace, call me. It's time to do this. The only thing that's going to save America is for us to all get together, repent, confess our sins, make Jesus the Lord and the Bible the book. God will heal us. We have to have the day of repentance. We're ready. Join me. Call me. Join me. Let's get it done for God's sake.
47, remember how short my time is.
Now, he's not feeling sorry for himself, but Ethan's getting on up there in age. Now, remember, he lived through David. He lived through Solomon. He outlived Rehoboam. He honestly thought he was going to live to see Messiah. All of the great prophets wanted to see Messiah. Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, everybody wanted to see Messiah. It's kind of like ever since Jesus ascended back to heaven after he paid the sin debt, every generation has been saying, will he come in our generation? But I can say to you from the Bible, you are the generation of the fig tree, be you 5 or 105. God may call some of us home. He does that. But you are the generation. We are the generation of the fig tree, says the Bible, who will usher in the second coming of Jesus. He comes at the seventh trump, and Satan comes at the sixth. Wait for seven.
Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?
Now, Ethan's getting depressed here, and I do understand this. I don't slight him at all for this. What he says is, if Messiah's not coming, if that's cut off, he still doesn't get it that God's going to bring Jesus through Nathan's lineage. If he doesn't come, what was the point after Satan rebelled for you sending us all through this earth age one time in the flesh, born from above, which is what born again means, to make our decision? Because if we don't have a Messiah, we still couldn't be saved. It's not in vain. God so loved even that one-third, Revelation 12, that betrayed him in the first earth age, that he would not destroy those who followed Satan when Satan rebelled in the world that then was. He gave them another chance. He gave the lukewarm third another chance. And he trusted his elect, a remnant in every generation, to come and stay true and bring forth that truth, emunah.
48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death?
The word man here in the Hebrew is Geber. That would be the giants. They were the children of the fallen angels, Nephilim of Genesis 6 and of Jude. But he says even the giants die.
Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?
Nobody can. Selah.
49, Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth?
There's the word truth. That's the seventh time. This time he did not use emunah, the Hebrew word, which has been translated faithfulness. This time the translators translated it correct, and I'm sure God had something to do with it. This is the seventh time. Seven is a number of God's perfection. At the seventh trump, Jesus is going to come, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. His word is truth.
Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people.
You know, Ethan is a type of the elect here. He's probably been telling everybody, Messiah's going to come, Messiah's going to come. And they are now making fun of him because, remember, the temple's, nobody's loving God or really being true to God very much there. And it's like when we're going to be here, the small elect group, and all the world goes after Satan and half the church. And so we will be reproached. And he feels this way. His heart is broken.
the one wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed.
Thine anointed, Christ Christos, the anointed one. They pierced his feet. Now we have one more verse in this chapter, and you're saying, good Lord, did Ethan ever get up? Did he ever understand? Yes, he did. He's been having this dialogue with God. When you seek God with all your heart, you'll find him. It's okay to talk with him. And God's been feeding it back, and Ethan's been saying what and why, and God's been answering. Now something's happened between 50 and 51. Ethan has a flash of revelation knowledge. He gets it. Hallelujah. God's going to keep the covenant. Messiah is going to come through King David, through Nathan. And we know it did. So let's listen to the change of his voice.
52. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen.
He praises him and blesses him. Amen in the Hebrew is truth, truth. Every time one of these books in the Psalms closes, it says truth, truth. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. This concludes what is called the Leviticus book of Psalms. We began in Psalm 73, and next time we're going to begin what is called the book of Numbers in the book of Psalms. Remember, the book of Psalms is divided up into Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. And we'll begin with Psalm 90, which begins the book of Numbers, and that's going to be very interesting. Now let's reflect back to the first psalm of the Leviticus section, which was Psalm 73. There we had a man that could be you, man, woman, boy, or girl. He was outside the sanctuary. The sanctuary is Jesus and the Bible. He tarried. He almost slipped. The world was calling. The world said, come. And he wanted the lure of that. But finally, he went into the sanctuary, into Jesus, into the Word of God. And when he went in, he saw that all is vanity out there in the world. And he saw what would happen to those who put the world before God. I say to everyone listening, go into the sanctuary. His name is Jesus. And go into the Word, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Stay in that Word. Read it, love it, hear it, sing it, pray it, think it, live it, walk it. Stay in the sanctuary. And I love you. And next week we'll begin Psalm 90, the book of Numbers. At this time, it is time for the mystery moment. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Question and answer time. Dear Sherry Trumpet, thank you so much for explaining last time about the four beasts of Revelation chapter 4. You said they were living creatures who protect God's throne. I was wondering, are they mentioned anywhere else in God's word? Answer, yes. In Ezekiel chapter 1, you remember Ezekiel saw a wheel and a wheel, and the word amber is used there. Amber means highly polished bronze, and the wheel is the circular vehicle. God brought his throne down on a highly polished bronze circular vehicle to Ezekiel, and those four living creatures, the Zoe or the Zoon, were with him there protecting the throne. They are also written about in the great prophetic book of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah describes them as having wings, which means their hands. He says with twain, that's two, with twain they did cover their eyes, with twain they did cover their feet, and with twain they did fly. To cover the eyes means they were humble, the feet was respect, and the fly means they praise the Lord. We're told in Revelation 4 they say, holy, holy, holy all the time. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. Okay, next question. Dear Sherry Trumpet, when Jesus took John up to heaven to see what was going on in heaven while we are here at the end, he saw some golden vials. Will you explain those, please? Yes, the golden vials are the prayers of saints. A vial is a bottle, and golden means they are precious. God puts the prayers of saints in a bottle and spreads them out before him to remind him of the saints' prayers. He bottles our prayers in his heart. Which leads to the next question. Dear Sherry, what is a saint? A saint is a set aside one. So, does that mean every Christian? Well, only if you're set aside for holy use. A set aside is an elect, one whose entire life, 24 hours a day, all of your money, all of your talent, all of your time, all of your love, all of your emotion is spent in obeying and loving and serving the Lord. You know you're not here about your family, although you love them. You know you're not here about your job or your fun or your good feelings. You know you're an ambassador. And so those are the prayers. Remember last time Jesus was sitting on the throne, and there were voices under the thrones with lightnings and thunders. The lightning is the electricity of the Holy Spirit. The thunder is the power of the Holy Spirit. The voices are the prayers of saints. Hallelujah. So he keeps them there. Okay, next question. Dear Sherry, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it says we shall reign on earth. What does that mean? The word reign there means we shall teach on earth, teach God's word. It's also mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. It says we, it's talking about the elect, the saints, the set aside ones, not everybody. It says that we shall reign with him, rule and reign with him, Jesus, 1,000 years. That 1,000 years of peace when Jesus returns will all be in our spiritual bodies. It's also mentioned in the great book of Ezekiel. I recently taught that on the radio. I hope many of you heard it. Ezekiel 44. He says, the elect shall teach the people the difference between the profane and between the clean. Let's see. We have a few more minutes here. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 6, it talks about seals. What is a seal? A seal is a sign, an alert to tell you that Jesus is coming again, the second advent, the seventh trump, the second coming of Jesus. There are seven seals. There are seven trumps. A trumpet is an action, lights, camera, action, as we say in showbiz. And there are seven vials. Jesus is coming back with seven vials, with the vials to pour out the wrath. Satan's number is six, is the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial. Six, six, six. There you have it. Now, naturally, when I teach Revelation, I go into a little more description there. So you always want to know those. Dear Sherry, are the seals mentioned anywhere else in God's Word? Absolutely. In Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. Every time I teach the book of Revelation, when I get to Revelation chapter 6, which has those seals, I ask the students to please open their Bibles to Mark 13 and keep their finger there. Because in Revelation, it talks of them in the parable, in a symbol. Remember Jesus spoke in parables? But in Mark 13, Jesus makes it very plain what they are. And so in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Let's see, we have a little bit more time for some more questions. Dear Sherry, in Revelation, it talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. What is that? The four horsemen of the apocalypse are the four hidden dynasties in great power here at the end time right now. They are under the jurisdiction and the order of Satan. Now, he's not bodily on earth. He is coming soon, calling himself Christ, but he's Antichrist. But he has his lieutenants here. The four hidden dynasties are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They are political. Need I say more? In other words, wherever you go, the fox is in the hen house. And they are economical. The whole purpose of this hidden dynasty is to make it so that everybody is dependent on the government, so that when Antichrist comes, you will depend on him so he can be God. So see, it's a setup. The third hidden dynasty is education. Instead of teaching our children to read the Bible, which was what the first school in America was about, they are now teaching our children that good is evil and evil is good. And the history of the United States of America has totally been taken out of our history books. I teach people, your daughter, she did not know the history of America. It is completely lied. And of course, the fourth is worst of all and is on our television screen right now. It is the hidden dynasty of religion. This is when it is accelerated so that everybody must worship Satan. And if you don't bow the knee and convert to his religion, you'll die. Iraq, ISIS, I-S-I-S. You know, God's name is I Am, I Am. Remember, he told that Moses at the burning bush, Aya, Asha, Aya, I am that I am, I am that I will become. The devil always is a copycat. So if God's name is Am, Am, I think that Isis took their father's name, is, just a copycat. Those butchers putting babies' heads on sticks are a part of the locust army of Revelation 9. There's another part of the locust army coming, the fallen angels. But all of that is coming true, all before our eyes. Time for one more question. Dear Sherry, is Jesus God? Absolutely. Isaiah 7:14. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as of the only begotten of the Father. See, there's one God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. I had to practice my Hebrew. But it's three different offices, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I love you. At this time, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, so stay around for that. And I'm also going to pray for those of you who are lost. You've got to make a decision. Tomorrow's too late. We don't have any more time to wait. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. I love you. Stay in the Word. Read it, hear it, live it, think it, do it. And let it be everything to you. Remember this about Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. Now be blessed by the prayers. This is Sherry Medlock. Thank you so much for listening to Trumpet of Truth. I do pray you were blessed. First of all, I want you to come and live with me in Father's house forever and ever. So let's make sure that you're saved. If you're not certain, please pray this prayer with me, and he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. Ready? Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned. I repent of my sins. I'm so sorry. I confess that I have sinned. I ask that you will please forgive me of all my sins. Please wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, save me, Lord. Be my Savior, but be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me to enlarge your territory. Here am I. Send me. Thank you. I love you, and I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that, you'll want to tell me. 321-632-4631. That's my number, my school number, Sherry Medlock School. 321-632-4631. You'll get my voicemail, but just leave your name. And if you want me to call you back, please leave your number. But as soon as I get the message, I will immediately take your name to Father's throne. Now, if you are sick, I want to pray for you to be healed. Do you know that God still heals? I have been healed of cancer 2 times in 2 different places of my body, and I did not ever go to the doctor. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I always say if you can't walk on water, take a boat. But I'm called to faith, and I believed. One time it took me 2 years. One time it took me 4 years, but I'm completely healed. And you can be healed too, and many things we overcome through the faith in Jesus Christ. Modern scientists have told us that there are only 39 foundational diseases, that all other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. The Bible says that Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24 says that with Jesus' stripes we are healed. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He sent his word and healed you. The blood was for the remission of sins, and the stripes were for the healing. Now, I want you to place your hand over whatever needs healing. If there's a part of your body that's missing, place your hand there if you can, because God is able to create a new body part. If something's broken or fractured, place your hand there. If something's not working, eyes or ears or legs, place your hand there. In any event, lift up your heart to the Lord. Now, the anointing destroys a yoke. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask the Holy Spirit will anoint this one, Father, as I pray this prayer. You said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit will move out to wherever this one is, wherever there's something missing. In the name of Jesus, we call forth a new body part, whole and well by the hand of God. We call forth those things which are not as though they were in the name of Jesus. Now, for all cancer, you're a demonic force, and I command you, all cancer, to desist and be gone from this body. And where the cancer was, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow in and repair the tissues. Cancer, you have to die. You have no power over this one. Jesus' stripes heals all cancer. Deaf ears, epata, be healed. Diabetes, in the name of Jesus, you are a diabolical force, and I command you to loose this one, that the blood sugar become normalized. Let glaucoma be gone. Let this one live and not die. Blind eyes see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You recover sight. Right eye see. Left eye see. In the name of Jesus, cataracts be gone. Glaucoma be gone. Macular disease be gone. Retina, everything in the eye be healed. Skin be healed. Skin be made whole. Burned skin be made whole in Jesus' name. Brains function. Dementia, Alzheimer's, go to the abyss and never return. In the name of Jesus, come, mind of Christ. Clear thinking, wisdom, clear thinking in the mind, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Arthritis, you are a devil. You go to the itises and go to the abyss and never return. Let the bones be made strong. Let broken bones be mended, where their bone is brittle, be made strong in the name of Jesus. He makes your bones strong. Burning feet stop burning. Toes be perfectly aligned. Feet get back in your right place. Hips get healed. Their pelvic girdle, and pick up those legs and arise. Take up your bed. Get up out of the wheelchair. Arise. Take up and walk in the name and the power of Jesus. Knees stop hurting and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Stomachs be healed. Kidneys be healed. Right kidney, left kidney, bladder, colon, private parts on men, private parts on women, be healed. Backbone, spine, vertebrae, right on down from the first one to the last one. Vertebrae get back in order, be perfectly aligned. Disc be made whole in Jesus' name. Pelvis, pelvic girdle, inside the bone marrow, muscles and nerves and sinews and tissues, the tongue and the throat, the lungs, the heart, the hands, the arms, the backs, the muscles, the brain stem, in Jesus' mighty name, top of your head to the soles of your feet, that the healing virtue flow and let you be made whole. With Jesus' stripes you're healed. He sends his word and heals you. The anointing destroys the yoke. Now, call forth your healing. Speak it out of your mouth. With Jesus' stripes I am healed. Father, touch this one. Let your miracle power flow here, dear God, and show your glory and restore health and cure to them. You will restore health and cure is your promise, and we thank you and we receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all of glory. Now, you might want to tell me also that you've been healed. Again, my number is 321-632-4631. 321-632-4631. You might also like to call me to ask me to pray for you. Again, you'll get my voicemail. That's the only way I can handle this. I'm a one-woman show. I don't have any help here. We accept the Lord, and he's a good help. So always leave your message, but I will get your message. I check them very often. I will always pray for you. Come on Sunday here at my school, 5 p.m. front entrance, to more of Trumpet of Truth. Bible, line by line, prayer for healing, prayer for salvation, beautiful music. 916G Florida Avenue, Coco, in the El Charro Mexican Plaza. You'll see a big sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. And then in the front door there, you'll see another sign, Trumpet of Truth. Come right on in. And Wednesday night, we have another book, currently studying Revelation. By the time you get here, it'll be a new book of the Bible. 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. We also pray then fervently for America. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, for more of Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. And remember this when you think of Jesus, Yeshua. It's taken from Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the Word. Tune in next week at the same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
was lost, but to know.